Well, kiddos, you ready to head out? Yeah. Somebody said, yeah, that works. Yes, go ahead. Oh, you did. Of course you did, Bentley. Of course you. I mean, I should have known that. So, Emily, I'm assuming he's breathing good today then. That's good. Praise God. Continue to pray for his little lungs. And so, y'all doing okay? I know today it's hard when these kind of things happen to keep our minds and hearts on the Lord as they're with people, and these days are hard. And so know that we're praying for you and that we're going to continue to lift the family in prayer, and we love y'all. When you think about Brian, he just kind of really chill. I don't know, at least that's my perspective, and always happy and chill. And so we'll be happy and chill today in honor of him and in honor of our Lord. And so you have your Bibles this morning. Y'all better wake up. I mean, there isn't any excuse to be asleep. You know what I mean? So, all right, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. And most of you that know your Bibles well, you're going to say, oh, here he goes. He's going to take it. Yes, we're going to go there. And we're going to look at what Jesus meant when he spoke to us about treasures. And I hope that we can take it kind of in a different direction than maybe what you're used to, and that you would be able to go out today really holding on to the Lord as your treasure. And so if you have that, if you would, stand with me for the reading of God's Word. And if you have a Bible that makes it in red letters when Jesus speaks, you're going to see that these are the words of Jesus. In fact, these are coupled with the Sermon on the Mount, and it's a huge amount of information that Jesus kind of throws out early on in his ministry. And so we get to get these words early on in his ministry, and they are beautiful words. They're words that if we live by, it will be different for us. If we let the words pass us, it will not be as different for us. So Jesus says these things starting in verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. And this is the key verse for today. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. God, we thank you today. I think about the words that you spoke to Moses, where you said that you had a desire for the people of God, the people of Israel, to be your treasure. And it wasn't long after that they built a calf and they worshiped it. God, I think sometimes we have these moments where we say, yes, I'm going to treasure you above everything else. And then time passes and there's a calf in front of us. It's heartbreaking. God, help us today to see and understand and get what it means for us to treasure you. Because I think if we got it and we understood that the God that created what we stand on, what we see, what we look at, has a desire to treasure us back, I don't know that there's anything on earth that can fill in that kind of way. And so today, send your Spirit, move in and amongst us, speak to us, keep the enemy from us. In the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. I wish I wasn't so emotional. I keep blaming that on COVID, or it could be that her parents are leaving us tomorrow. I don't know. I mean, but anyway, it could be a lot of things. But let's talk about a couple of things real fast just to kind of get ourselves wrapped around this idea of treasures. And I think that all of us have things that we kind of hold on to, that we treasure, that we keep near to us. And you're still with me. Think about this statement with me this morning, just for your own self. And I know for most of you, you've been in church for a long time, you've thought about this, you've contemplated it, but what do you treasure the most? Just be honest with yourself. Nobody else is evaluating you. Nobody else is saying to yourself today, hey, you shouldn't think that. I want you to be honest with yourself. I want you to really think today, what is it? What is it that you treasure the most? And here's what I want you to know. What you treasure the most is as far as you will go in life. If you're a negative person and you like negative thoughts and you sit in those negative thoughts, I'll be honest, my dad liked negative thoughts. There were times where I would say, Dad, do you just like thinking negative? And he would say, absolutely, because then you're never disappointed. That's just, and I mean, I got old enough and he got old enough where I could say things like that to him and he would receive it. But see, sometimes we treasure that. We treasure that. We hold on to it. We like it. A lot of times there's a reason why we like it. But see, here's the thing. What we treasure will consume us, as it should. Because see, Jesus is saying, I want you to treasure me. I want you to hold on to me. I want from your heart out to be wrapped around me, my message, my heart, my will, my desire, so that we can be together in heaven. And here's what's beautiful. He's been desiring that from the beginning. This isn't a new theory for him. This isn't a new thing. He wants us. What's crazy to think is that little old me, the Lord, wants us. He wants us to treasure him so he can pour out, so he can bless, so he can move. So let's just remind ourselves of this, because I want you to know this, and I hope that this will ring true to many of you today. But think about these statements. What we treasure is what we allow to lead us. Now I want to just throw out some fun examples. Are you ready for this? Because the rest of it ain't going to be fun. So laugh now and forever hold whatever it is. Forever hold your peace. But I want you to think about this, in that I was with my wife in New Jersey one time, and I can't remember it, but I can't remember how it happened or what it was, but there was a female that I was in a relationship with, right? And she came up, or she came to mind, or something had happened that had recalled her. And I don't know if you've ever had this happen. And I began to think about how different her and I were. Now, at one point, she was just in love with me. Maybe I wasn't as in love with her. Let me just tell you about myself a little bit. Before I was single, I was not running around trying to find me a woman, okay? That just wasn't who I was. A lot of women were trying to find me, and I was like, sorry, I'm just not really interested, or I'm not that into you. You know what I'm saying? Like, is that okay to say from the pulpit? It was worth it, though, right? Because what I got, you know what I'm saying? So I knew. I said, Lord, when I know, I want to know from my spirit out. Does that make sense? And so I just knew. I saw her, went to her parents a week later and said, we're getting married. And they're like, what? So 3 months later, we were married, right? 12 years later, 4 plus 2 plus, anyway, we about to bite our heads off yesterday. But what I want you to know is that I looked at that and thought, my goodness, how different. You know, sometimes what we treasure in a season isn't meant to be treasured for a lifetime. Come on now, you all been there. You look back on something or presents itself again, and you're like, phew, I'm glad I'm not there. I'm glad I didn't step into. I'm glad I listened to the Lord in those moments. Because guess what? Sometimes people are seasonal. I didn't plan this around what happened. But my goodness, here on earth, we are going to pass away. It is just inevitable. And in order for us to be reunited, the only way we can do that is through our relationship and walk with Jesus Christ, which is through us treasuring him more than anything else. We can treasure things such as negativity. And let me tell you this, and remember this, what you treasure will position you for your time here and your time in eternity. Why? Because he told us that how we live and what we're a part of here is building something in eternity. And we could study that. We could look at Revelation. We could look at the words of Jesus. I think what we need to get is that our home, and I know this sounds so, our home is not here. So some things that maybe, because see, I think we often think objects. What's interesting here is Jesus wasn't just talking about objects. He was talking about the placement of our heart. It was bigger than that. Now, for some of us, we do treasure objects. For some of us, we treasure thoughts. mindsets, people, jobs. I don't know, you fill it in. When I say to you, what do you treasure most? What do you love the most? What are you going after the most? Come on, be honest with yourself. That'll tell you the direction of your life. All right, so what was Jesus saying here? It's always good to get to what Jesus means. And he was saying, look, what you treasure is what you value above all else. That's the bottom line. So what you treasure is what you value. And if you don't treasure me, then how can you and me work together? He was also saying that when you treasure me, I will motivate you. I will put desires in your heart. I will put abilities, talents, gifts. I will give you peace. I will give you all that you feel void. But he also was saying, hey, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And church, these are one of these good old holiness messages where the bottom line is that Jesus is saying, just so you know right off the bat, you can't serve me. And just right off the bat, if you really want to love me, then I don't know who I was talking to about this week, but I've been thinking about and just reviewing kind of how Jesus calls people. Unfortunately, because we'd like it a different way, unfortunately, when Jesus said, follow me, he meant like, whew, and go forward. Whatever's in your sack, he, and when they didn't, guess what? So we don't like to review all of who Jesus is, because when they didn't drop everything and follow him, he said, well, go ahead back with what you don't want to drop. It's hard for us in America. It just is. So think for the rest of the time about Matthew 6, 21. I want you to think about a couple of things here too. And this is important. These are the three things we're going to review today. The first is the seat and center of circulation. So here's what's interesting, right? And here's what I want you to know. And I'm kind of going to use my wife as an example. But my heart led my mind when I met her. Because let's be real, most of you, because let me tell you, I have girls, and here's what I'm going to say when they call me up and say, I met this dude, he is in the Army, and I think we're going to get married, and we're going to get married pretty soon. I'll say, get home. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's going to be my response. Get home, and we'll take care of it from there, and make sure he ain't coming home with you, because I'll talk to him separate, right? That's just your immediate response. But see, something in that was being led by my heart and not by my mind. And see, God had a bigger plan. I don't believe I'd be here today if it weren't for our meeting. Actually, I know I wouldn't. See, God had a bigger plan. See, the seat and center of our circulation has to be our heart. See, many of us say, well, now, Pastor, you got to think about it. Take the expansiveness of God, take the abilities of God, and think about it first and put a bunch of committees around it, right? Instead of just trusting the vastness and greatness, and we oftentimes let our mind get in the way of our heart. But Jesus knew that if the heart is after something, guess what? The heart is going to go after it. And the heart can move the mind. Now, obviously, the mind can move the heart, but let me tell you, when you're in love and you believe you're in love, you are what? You are in love, and oftentimes the mind goes other directions. In fact, I know a lot of you now, and I know your love stories. And if you were to have let your mind step into those, they wouldn't be what they are today, right? I mean, I'm looking at you. Are you awake? Do you love your spouse? I mean, do you like the story that, and a lot of times your mind trumped that, or it trumped what somebody else had to say about it? So when we allow our heart to be consumed and passionately seeking the Lord, he sets the circulation of everything else. He sets the movement, the direction, the seat where all desires and affections flow. He becomes that, and the seat that dictates our intellect and our minds. So let's go through these pretty quickly. I don't know, but I think we need to get into this, and I think it's important. But where your thought life is, you know, Jesus told us to take every thought captive. Church, that's hard, right? Can you just say amen? Because I know today you didn't take every thought captive. All right, and that's not a sin, but I'm just telling you, I'm pretty sure most of you didn't come in today with all of your thoughts being taken captive by the Lord this past week since we last met. When we start really thinking about taking every thought captive so it could come under the authority of Jesus Christ, see, that's telling us where our heart is, how often we take our thoughts. But let me tell you, we get thoughts. We get thoughts, and you know what we do? We hold on to them. They get control of us. Sometimes they're positive, sometimes they're negative, sometimes they have nothing to do with the Lord. Sometimes they just happen in passing and we can't let it go. Sometimes somebody says something, it puts a thought in our mind. Sometimes we look at something that we shouldn't look at, it puts a thought in our mind and we can't get rid of it. I mean, we could go there today. But see, what happens is when those thoughts, when those objects, when those things that we allow to consume us, the scripture tells us what? As a person thinks, right? As a person thinks, so is he or she, which tells us where their treasure lies. Y'all feel worked up already? It feels thick in here. What we treasure sets a course for how the Lord can work, for where he can go, for what he can do through you. Think about this second thing. The seat where all desires, feelings, and affections flow from. I had to just keep using this example, but again, here with my wife, it was affections, feelings, desires. There was some kind of connection with her that was different than anyone else in my life. Enough so that I was willing to say to my parents, sorry. Now, does that hurt sometimes? Do I regret it sometimes? Do I go back and think, was there another way? And it always falls on me. I could have dealt with it a different way. But there was something deep inside of me that had to do with feelings, desires, affections. See, think about the desires and feelings and affections that we have for the Lord. Now, I didn't mean to use this, but Dad had mentioned something yesterday that the scripture says, and I haven't been able to let it go, and that is when we pass away and the Lord speaks to us, he gives us a new what? We sing it. A new name in, giving us a new name in glory. Da, da, da. Y'all with me? You know that song. And he gives us a new name, but you know what's unique about it? He says, only you and he know about it. Only you and he know about it. Which tells me today that your relationship, that your affections, that your desires, that your love towards the Lord and the way in which you treasure him is going to dictate the name that he gives you in glory. And I want you to think about this too. You know, the desire, the affection, the love that the Lord has for you has no expiration date. The bottom line is those who we love the greatest here, guess what? There is an expiration date. There will be a time when we are no longer together. But see, Christ's loyalty to us goes beyond the present. The third thing that we're going to look at today is a seat that dictates our intellect and our mind. Here's the thing. Just look at the scripture. It says that what? God sent his only begotten Son. Why? Because he loved us. Why? Because he had an affection and a desire to be in relationship with us. Why? It superseded his mind. It superseded church. Is our love for God guiding everything that flows, everything that comes out of, everything that proceeds. See, the problem is oftentimes in our relationship with the Lord, we make it practical in relation to the world. And so we make our walk with Jesus practical to our walk in the world. We line it up to that. See, sometimes Jesus wants to come in and say, I don't want to worry about, think about or deal with your mind today. You ever feel like the Lord feels like that towards you? He speaks to you and you go right to your intellect and you start saying, well, see, God, here's the thing. Now, you know, Moses did that. We've been talking about in Sunday school. Many did that. Think about it. Mary didn't do it. Zechariah did it. I mean, I could go back and forth all day. Zechariah said to the angel, there's no way. And God said through the angel, you know what? Make him quiet. I can't deal with that. Imagine today, honestly, let's just be real. If the Lord still dealt with us in that way, a lot of us would not be speaking today, right? You'd come in and wonder, why is everybody mute? And I'll say, well, look at the Bible. It tells us why they're mute. Let's just pray for them for 9 months and we'll talk to them then, right? Because I'd probably be mute at some point too. Because, see, our mind gets in the way. But see, the Lord is saying here, if you treasure me most, that's where you're going to be. In my power, in my presence. You know, something that's interesting here too, when I was reading it, I actually looked at what a couple of theologians said and John Wesley said, and they said, oftentimes we read this scripture and we don't realize that if we don't hold on to that, we are living in a deficit. That's the bottom line. We're living in a deficit and we don't even realize it. There's places in our lives and in our hearts where there is deficit and we don't associate it to the relationship, to the connection that we have with the heart of God. And yet, oftentimes, we're living in deficit, not because the Lord doesn't have a desire to pour out, but because we're not letting him be a part of all that we are. And so we live in poverty. We live in a deficit. So let's just, in closing, go through a couple of things. Your treasures, what you treasure, it is going to orient your heart. If you treasure this over, and I don't know what this is, and church, you've heard it over the years, but I just want you to take a moment and think about those things you treasure and admit to yourself that they direct the paths of your life. For some of you, it's a person. For some, it's an object. For some, it's a lifestyle. Your treasure also darkens your eye. If you treasure being negative, guess what? Your eyes are going to be darkened to Jesus and the world around you. If you treasure your intellect above the intellect of the Scriptures, then your eyes are going to be darkened. If you treasure your opinion above, they're going to be darkened. And you're going to wonder why people don't see like you. It's because you're living in a darkened state. And addictions, think about it. When we live in addiction, we are treasuring that addiction above. And so what does that do? It darkens our eyes to the presence, to the glory, to the spectacularness of God. I don't say it often in the church, but I just got to be honest with you. Addictions are sweeping our nation. They're taking over our young people. Young people these days are in addiction so much earlier than even when I was a young person. I read a stat this week from Barna, and they said that since the pandemic, the average charitable contribution to a church has gone down astronomically. And the average gift per household in the United States who gives to a church, when you average it out, is $723. Church. That means out of the people giving to church, giving to the mission of Christ, Y'all, some of you treasure your finances more, and I promise you, you won't take it with you. And I promise you, it might be the reason why you don't get to be in heaven. Because in Scripture, instead of dealing with them, they just drop dead. And I know that's a harsh thing, but hold on to it here. And it will darken your eyes. And here's the other thing, and here's what I thought so fascinating. John Wesley said, your treasure demands your worship. If you treasure stuff, guess what? You're going to go after stuff. If you treasure a person above, when that person is no longer present, you're about to, when addiction becomes your direction, when the addiction's no longer there, there's a huge space that God has to come in and. Our treasures demand our worship. Here's the flip side of it. Because see, many people that I talk to that like aren't like you, they'll say, well, if I treasure him more then that means he's going to want all of me. What do we say? Well, yeah, you're kind of right. Yeah. But you know what else? Not only do we treasure him, but he treasures us. Whew. And do you know what it means to be treasured by God? Take a person that doesn't believe in Jesus and walk him through the Bible and show her all the moments where people followed after and what God did in response to obedience, what God did in response to those that loved him. Doesn't mean it's easy, but my goodness, it's different. So, Abby, do you want to come? And I know this isn't one of those messages that you just flock to the altar and everybody around you says, oh, well, they don't treasure the Lord up above. Wipe that out of your mind. Because I think as I look at some of you, you know where your heart is? You're thinking about a person you love. And your desire is that they would treasure Jesus above all else. I've gotten to know y'all pretty well. And I got a lot of names that don't sit here today that your hearts are breaking over. And that your one desire is that they would treasure the Lord like you do. And so I think that today, it's not just about you. Maybe it's about somebody else that you long to see treasure the Lord. Or maybe today it is about you. Because here's the thing. Don't go out today and fool yourself that you're his if you don't treasure him the most. At least go out today and say, you know what? I do treasure this more. And so, Lord, let's go on a journey on how I shift that. Thought about this week. I was talking to a waitress, and she said, my goodness, if we lived just on tips in these days, I wouldn't have anything. Many of you are thinking that your tips to God are going to get you to heaven. Many of you have a pretty highly elevated view of how you respond to treasuring God. Maybe, just maybe, today's the day for you to get with him and say, so, am I really treasuring you? Is my life a reflection of how much I treasure you? You know, I love that person with all my heart. Maybe a little bit more than I love you. So what's today and for the next 2 weeks? There is a proper time, and this is a proper time to adjust your heart, to adjust what you treasure, and to let your life reflect that. And maybe today that's your prayer, but maybe today it's somebody else. And your heart breaks daily. I can think of the names right now. In fact, some of your family members, I'm going after them like crazy, and I'm going to keep doing that. Because I know what it means to treasure him above everything else. And I know what it's been for me even in this moment. And so forget about your neighbor and seek him for you or for somebody else. The altars are open. Close your eyes. Let's just honor him in this time. I'd encourage you, if God is speaking to your heart, come.
The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I love you. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you. It's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace. It's overwhelming. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. 'Cause this love is so deep, it's more. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. 'Cause I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming.
So today, God, we just seek you. We seek you above all else. God, I'm burdened today because it's not just about us as individuals seeking you. It's at us together. We're your people. Your feet, your hands. You're the people that that you desire to just enter into. We're the people that you want to treasure and hold on to. I just picture your hands just holding us so tightly and carrying us on to our eternal home. And so today, let us become constant seekers. Let us not come to a place where we just settle. God, I keep thinking about these words. There will you be also. So where our heart is, that's where we are. And if we're being led by people, thoughts, feelings, objects that are not of you, then that's where we are. Why you said it. You can't work off of the extra. We can't live off of the extra. We have to live in all, in surrendering all. See, when we surrender all, we move that path that may be a good one to a perfect one. And so, Lord, let us go out today, honestly, with conviction on our hearts. But not only conviction, but celebration as we move things out of the way and move you in. The direction that that can take us is tremendous. I'm sorry, Lord, the direction that it does take us. So today we love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, just be respectful of those that are at the altar. Thank you so much for being here today. Hope you'll join us for Sunday school.